This morning I come to you with a heavy heart and just going to confess to you that that I need to repent. And it's over this issue of our topic today, and that is over sanctity of life. I know in my heart it's an important issue for Allison and myself. But we've not done a great job of leading you in this. We don't pray enough with you for this issue. We don't address it enough with you from this about this issue. And we kind of just go about like one day a year is enough, and it's not. It's not. I mean, this is the overriding issue really of our day. And much the way that we look back as a church on slavery and wonder what the church was doing in that generation, I do think 100 years from now, the church will look back at us and say, what were we doing during our time? And while there are movements and there are people, by and large, we as a church, we just are silent. We ignore it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to address it because it's uncomfortable. It's political. It's emotional. It's sensitive. It's personal. And so it bothers us. And as long as we continue to remain silent, as long as we don't address the issue, the darkness wins. The death continues. And so this morning I come just asking forgiveness, asking the Lord for forgiveness to be better at leading and teaching. I mean, we as a church, we support First Care, and we'll take baby bottles and we'll collect coins and we'll do walks, and even some of us will go to a First Care dinner, and those are all good things. But in many ways, it's like what we're doing is we're praying before a meal or before bedtime. I mean, that's good, but it's not enough. I mean, we are really engaged in a significant and a real battle, and we just kind of are trite about it in many ways. So the bad news is, over the last 40 years, nearly 50 million babies have been aborted in America. Each year, over 1 million abortions occur in the United States. The good news is God is moving, and he is working, and he is bringing light to darkness. And so what we're seeing is these abortion clinics are becoming less and less. There are fewer abortion clinics now than many years ago, right? And so you look around, and today there used to be about 2,000. Today there's about 740. So that's a good thing. God is moving and working, but there's still much to be done. And it's not just about laws, it's about hearts and attitudes that we as a nation have regarding this issue of life, the sanctity of life, of what makes a person a person. Let me just say this, and we're going to look at a passage. As a pastor, there are a couple of themes that are challenging to speak about, right? Because we know the congregation is already a little tense. So if I start talking about money or about tithing, that gets you a little uncomfortable. All right, it's uncomfortable for me because that's what you think. Pastors always want money and you're always preaching about money. But if you attend this church, you know that's not true at all. We rarely talk about that. But this is the other issue because it really makes us all uncomfortable. But until we are really uncomfortable about this as a people, as believers, as followers of Christ, things won't really change. It won't. And so know my heart. I know we don't like to talk about it because there's guests in the audience and there's people, first-time people, and they're like, oh, what a day to come. No, but this is such a vital issue. So next week we'll be back in Acts and we'll be talking about what's going on there, and it'll be glorious. But this morning, just give me your heart. And here in a few moments, we're going to have a guest speaker. Mary Lou's going to come and share some statistics from the Florida Baptist Convention and the Florida Baptist Children's Home. But look with me for a minute, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read these verses 6 through 17. If you've been with me over the last few years, we've looked at Psalm 139, we've looked at Genesis, we've looked at different passages. This morning what I want to do is just kind of be more straightforward with you regarding some statistics and facts and the reality of what's going on, but I want to kind of clothe it in this passage in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 6. You can follow on the screen if you don't have a Bible. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." Listen to this. "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Father, I'm asking that you would give us as believers in this room not just ears to hear, but Father, hearts that break over this issue that is rampant in our nation. Lord, we who are called to defend the helpless, Lord, that we would rise up, that we would be prayerful, that we would be broken, that we would be convicted by what happens on a daily basis in Palm Beach County, in Fort Lauderdale, in Miami, in this state. And Lord, we would seek your face. We pray, oh Lord, that light would continue to shine into the darkness of this area. And Lord, as light is shining, that people's hearts would change. Lord, every individual is an image bearer of you. Outside of the womb and inside of the womb. They are knitted together perfectly as you are creating them, even in their mother's womb. And so, oh Lord, would we defend, stand up for, speak for those who have no voice? And Lord, we pray these things through Christ. Amen. Notice in that text a couple of things. Don't be deceived by empty words. And then later on he says, but bring to light the things that are happening in darkness. That really is much of what goes on with the whole abortion movement, right? People come in the front door and they send them out the back door. That's why those Planned Parenthood videos where the guy was bringing the cameras in, they were so irate about, because they don't want you to know what's going on in there. They don't want you to know what they talk about. You can follow somebody like Abby Johnson. She worked in an abortion clinic for many years, and she details explicitly what happens and the procedures and how doctors are talking and things that are going on in there, right? And how God changed her heart in the midst of an abortion one day as she was a nurse in that process, right? And that's what she's getting at, is there's just this shield, this darkness that the evil one puts around. It doesn't want things to come to light, because when the light of the gospel, the light of Christ shines in those areas, will not happen. We cannot continue to allow it to happen. Well, we're really at battle, though, nowadays in 2017 is not really what's going on in the womb. That's already been defined. It's really an issue over personhood and who has the right of personhood. Some of the things I'm going to share come from a couple different areas. John Piper writes a lot on this. The Gospel Coalition writes on this. Some of this is from First Care's Banquet from this past year, 2016. But we hear a lot about Roe v. Wade, and we know that's when this law was passed here in America. But see, the complicating factors about Roe v. Wade and why it's a challenge is because of the way that the words were couched. Listen to some of the things. It says that state laws may not prevent abortion even during the full 9 months if the abortion is to preserve the life or the health of the mother. And so that's always where it's at. Well, if the mother's life is in danger, or if it's rape, right? I mean, those are the two that always get thrown out there. But if you talk to doctors, that is such a rare portion of abortion. But it's always the one that's like, we gotta protect this because it's like almost every abortion is happening in that segment. And that's so not true. But then here's the other part of it that makes it even more challenging. It says the other step, they define health of the mother as all factors. So to preserve the life or the health of the mother. So health is defined as physical health, emotional health, psychological health, family health, the woman's age health. Those are all those things about a woman's well-being come into play. So you see what it is? If I'm pregnant, I, in essence, can choose whether I want to not have this baby because I can always say, I don't feel good about this. I'm not ready for this, right? Well, that fits the category of the mother's health. So it's like this carte blanche. You can just do it in many ways without any complicating factors. As long as you say, this is causing me stress. This is causing me difficulties. This is causing me challenges. Then you are able to move forward. Do you see how that's hard to address? But the truth of the matter is we know as a nation, if we're honest, we know that we're killing babies. We know that. Let me give you some examples. In 38 states in these United States, they have fetal homicide laws. You know what that is? If you kill a woman who's pregnant, or if the baby dies, right, law enforcement, Tom, then you can be charged with double homicide or murder for killing the child in the womb. 38 states is recognizing that which is inside of the mother is a person. And yet we still allow abortions to go on. It's illegal to take the life of an unborn child if the mother wants the baby, but it is legal to take the life of the unborn if she doesn't. So the first situation, the child in womb is a human and has rights. But then in the second situation, it's not human and it doesn't have rights. What's the difference? The person making the choice to end the pregnancy. We do surgeries on babies in the womb. Doctors don't just say, oh, that's just a fetus. There's nothing going on in there. We've seen images, right, of little hands grabbing doctors' fingers. Probably one of the most amazing things that God has done is he's allowing us to see what he is doing in the secret place of the womb. 4D ultrasounds, any of y'all have them? Some of the younger moms? They are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Drink some orange juice, that baby's going to be kicking high, right? But you see it. I mean, you see it. It's not just this ugly old image that looks like an x-ray, and unless you're a doctor, you don't know what you're looking at. I mean, you see fingers and hands and toes and eyelashes and parts. I mean, you know what's going on inside the mother is a person. We know that. That's why they don't want laws that ask women to have an ultrasound before they have an abortion, because they don't want the mother to see what's inside the womb. So what God is doing is he's shining light inside of the womb so that we see it. No, it is life. It's life. It's life. Which is why so many pro-life clinics are offering free ultrasounds, because so many of the women, they don't get them, and they don't know what's inside of them. We even have videos. I mean, high science videos where they follow from conception to the fertilization to the implantation in real life, and you see it. Unbelievable what God is allowing. So we know it. But moreover, not just that we know that it's a person, but the issue, as we said, is the issue of personhood and what defines a person. Think about this. These are some of the arguments that are out there and in the ways that are being refuted. It's not a full person, right? So we're making a judgment based on size sometimes. But the truth of the matter is size does not determine personhood. I'm 6'1", I'm a person. We were at the fair the other day, Paul was all excited. He saw some short lady at the fair, right? What's her name? Tiny Tina, right? She's a person. Size does not determine personhood, does it? A child that's 1 day old, 1 hour old, 20 inches long, person. So what makes it different that they're in the womb? Some would say, well, it's the ability to reason. That's what makes a person a person. But we know that babies hear and they respond to outside stimuli and they hear parents' voices and music, and so they're able, they have cognizant recognition of things. We don't look at somebody who's mentally retarded and say they're not a person because they don't have the mental capacity of you or I. We still call them a person, right? What about location? That first care banker, he was hitting some of these just really hard, right? I mean, does where somebody lives, does that make them a person or not? Well, if you live in America, you're a person, but if you live in Indonesia, you're not a person. Does location matter? Does it matter? So why does it matter if you live outside of the womb or inside of the womb? Why does that location matter? Why does 7 inches of a birth canal matter? Hearts are beating. Well, because sometimes we'll say, well, because they're dependent on the mother, which is the next argument. Well, they're dependent on the mother. Well, so if we didn't give that, then they're not a person. Well, what about feeding tubes and breathing tubes and or breathing machines and all these other things that we do, and we still call that person a person? They're not sustaining life on their own for a while. We don't look at somebody that gets put on a feeding tube and say, well, they're not a person anymore, let's take it off. Unless there's other complicating factors, right? And in the womb, just because you're connected to a placenta and umbilical cord, that doesn't mean you're any less of a person. And even more dangerous is the idea of whom abortion targets. Women of every color, nationality, have abortions. One of the things that we've heard is many women that are believers, Christians, have abortions. They go off to college and they get pregnant and they have abortions because it will mess up their life. The likelihood, there's probably some, maybe in this congregation or other congregations around this community, that have had abortions, right? But when you look at statistics, there are certain people groups that seem to be impacted by abortion in damning ways. So we live in a culture right now with Black Lives Matter. And yesterday we had this women's march right all across the nation. And whether you feel like those things are right or wrong, in God's eyes, we would say like all lives matter. True. Okay, so Black Lives Matter, women's rights and women's issues matter as well. But think about this. When we had slavery in America from 1882 to 1968, 3,446 African Americans or black individuals were lynched in America. Today, every 3 days, we surpass that number of black babies being killed via abortion. Every 3 days. Every day, 1,300 African American babies are killed in America. 700 Hispanic babies die via abortion. And so what's happened is Planned Parenthood is the one that gets all the publicity. They are the leading provider of abortions in America. And here's their strategy. They were founded by Margaret Sanger. And we hear her name thrown out from time to time. But in the 1930s, she had what she called the Negro Project. And it was designed to reduce the number of black births. Randy Alcorn wrote on this. Multiple other articles out there as well. Planned Parenthood, a closer look at its founder and philosophy. The desire was to, in essence, do genocide, to get rid of black babies. And so what's starting to happen is some in the black community, some African-American leaders and believers are starting to recognize that. In 2002, Reverend Childress started a website for African-Americans called blackgenocide.org, and these are some of his statistics. The incident of abortion has resulted in a tremendous loss of life. It's been estimated that since 1973, black women have had about 10 million abortions, probably about 13 by now. And since the current number of African Americans living in America is 31 million, the missing 10 million represents an enormous loss. For without abortion, America's black community would now number 41 million. That would be 35% larger than what they are right now. He goes on and says, abortion is swept through the black community like a scythe, cutting down every fourth member. You heard, right, in New York, they tried to put up signs that said the most dangerous place for an African American is in his mother's womb. That didn't go over very well. you can imagine. And what Planned Parenthood has done is they are targeting inner city communities where they're putting these Planned Parenthood, and they're saying it's for free health care and all those sorts of things. But and what they're doing is they're really doing abortions to gain capital, money, resources. And they're using individuals who maybe don't have a voice. John Ensor, who now lives in Miami and works in the inner city, here's some of his thoughts. Currently, 94% of American abortions happen in cities. African-American women make up 13% of the female population, but 36% of all abortions. Latin American women make up the other 13%, and they account for 20%. And so some African-American leaders are saying we're being targeted. Isn't this genocide? An African-American community says this. They said, we are the only minority in America that's on the decline in population. If the current trend continues by 2038, they go on and say the black vote won't matter because there won't be any of them. There won't be enough to sustain any kind of voting power. So this is a real issue. I mean, all peoples, but certain people groups are being targeted, even here in South Florida. So those are a lot of statistics and a lot of thoughts for us to get our mind. What do we do? What do we do with that? Well, I mean, we can pray, and I'm not diminishing that in any way, but there's more that we can do as well. There's other activities and other ministries that are ongoing right now that are trying to pierce back the darkness, that are shedding light into this terrible travesty that's going on in our nation, here even in Florida. So I'm going to ask if Mary Lou would come up. She's going to share a little bit about her ministry and what she's doing through the Florida Baptist Children's Home and some of the ways that they're trying to help give options to families that are in crisis need. So would you welcome Mary Lou with me?
Well, it's my honor to be with you today, and I come as a voice for the voiceless, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ, who has brought me out of such darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't it wonderful to have the voice of life throughout the state of Florida? Amen. Amen. And I want to just share a quick PowerPoint with you. Am I going to be able? Yeah, great, because I need to follow along. But I am the voice of many voices out of the children's home. And that voice that I proclaim is the sanctity of human life. So if we'll move to the next slide. You'll see Dr. Haig's, one of his sayings is one more child. And we do that through all of our ministries, but through the sanctity of human life. I travel from Pensacola all the way down to Miami, proclaiming and protecting the sanctity of human life. And it really is simple. Love changes lives. And as the pastor has given you those statistics, over 3,000 abortions are recorded daily in America. That is the bad news. These are recorded abortions. There are so many abortions that can't be tracked because of the chemical, the abortion pill, the day after pill. But to have the documentation, 3,000 a day. And I think this is not just a woman's issue. I really believe this is a family issue. Because behind every mother, every woman, there is a man. And that affects the family. And I don't have all the statistics for abuse and neglect, but Florida is at the top of that, as well as our termination of pregnancy. That's bad news. There's good news coming. But as you notice, I work with Dennis and Barb Rainey with Family Life today because family does matter, amen? And 2,400 divorces are recorded daily in our country. So it affects the family because hurt people hurt people. I don't think abortion's our problem. I think the heart is the problem. And I'm honored as I'm the voice to pregnancy care ministries, to residential care for maternity clients, for adoption agencies, that we have a voice that's to the heart of the client, to the heart of the woman and her family, that she might be in this unplanned pregnancy, but she does have choice. Amen? She does have choice. Like I said, Florida is number three in 2015 in our termination recordings of abortion. Over 71,000 abortions were recorded in 2015. Over 71,000. And I'm thankful that I work alongside of pregnancy care ministries, not only in Pensacola and throughout the state, but right here in West Palm Beach. I know Sharon Brewer, I know there's been some transition. So thankful that this church is involved. Your church is partnering with First Care to have pastoral advice, as your pastor does for this pregnancy center. I am very honored. Honored to be here and honored to proclaim what Christ is doing throughout the state of Florida, because there is hope. There's over 200 pregnancy care, residential care, and adoption agencies throughout the state of Florida. And I just want to share just a little bit now of what these centers, what churches do proclaim, but the centers are refuge of the church. They're an outreach arm of the local church, so the intervention comes in because we focus on the heart no matter how deep a bit is, no matter how deep that situation is in darkness. There is hope. There is hope. Jesus intervenes, and that's the message we proclaim, because he reconciles the woman to her maker. He reconciles the woman to her own self, to her own heart, and then to her family, to her neighbor. I'm so thankful for prevention, because these centers and clinics, these refuge for women, when the test is negative, there is another message, because prevention is real. Amen? The message that, you know what? I can stay pure. Maybe I've messed up. But there's hope. God's got a plan and a purpose for every one of us, not to bring us to harm or calamity, but to bring us to a hope and a future. And I think this is the great message of hope. Then evangelism, not to beat people over the head with the Bible. I'm not into that, but I am to be intentional with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the heart. When God changed my heart through his son, Jesus Christ, I became a new creature. All things were taken away. Behold, I became a new creature. And I'm going to tell you something. He's turned my past into full redemption. Today, I can proclaim I've been changed by the life changer. So I'm not in behavior modification. I'm truly into life change and the opportunities that women have to hear the hope and the plan of God for their lives. He never intended us to walk in the guilt and the shame of abortion. He intended us to know that he has life and purpose. He's not against us. He's for us. He designed us. One of my life verses is, and Jesus spoke this in the book of Mark, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that's where this ministry started through the Florida Baptist Convention. We're loving our neighbors as ourselves because we have truly received the love of God and the message of hope to women throughout the state of Florida. And then that is bringing us now to client care. And the message through the ultrasound is amazing to me. I call it the Psalm 139 experience. And I've just been encouraged to write my first blog, and it's on our website. But it tells about how the Lord called me into this ministry. And the first ultrasound I ever saw was of my granddaughter. And I was able to go with my daughter-in-law. I call her April. She's in the service today. And so is Madeline. But I'll never forget the day that they put that probe on April. And I saw Madeline in her mother's room. She's just as distinct then as she is today. And I can remember that we were looking at the image. And I said, look, you can see her eyelashes. She was blinking at us. And the next thing I did is put my hand on April's stomach, and I told Madeline, I didn't know it was her name then, but I said, Jesus loves you. And Madeline stuck her tongue out all the way to her chin. I said, she just worshiped in the womb. But what I'm saying is the ultrasound, it really does show life begins at conception. The very day of conception, we're just as distinct as we are when we are out of the womb until we grow. And sanctity of human life is not just conception in the womb, but it's all throughout life. Encouraging each other to let the Lord lead us as a church, as a community, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Church is not a place for perfect people, amen? But a church is a place where we hear the word and are encouraged to follow Jesus with all of our heart and to know that he will bring that message to people that are hurt and dying and in need of a Savior. So we thank the Lord for the client care. Ways that you can engage, you're already engaged in many ways with First Care, your local pregnancy center, but maybe today you're thinking, how could I be more involved? You could volunteer. There's different areas of volunteering with a client advocate. That's when you're one-on-one with a client. I have the honor to do biblical training because I believe that the Lord can intervene in those situations, and you're just informing her of the hope and a plan of salvation, but also the choices. Maybe she doesn't want to hear the gospel. You can move and respect her and point her to the truth of development, and that if she does carry her child, there's other options to parenting, and that is adoption. And so we're so intentional to not only share, you know, the gospel but and the hope, not to beat people, but the hope of Christ, we're able to share all of our options. When I directed a center, we were on our 19th adoption, and it was an amazing to see these women walk through the selfless choice of adoption. And so they do that at First Care as well, and that's what client advocates, they're able just to share and develop relationships with not only the women, but sometimes families. And also with the medical service, they have needs for medical care in each one of those First Care locations. And last but not least, you'll see those on the screen, but as the pastor mentioned, prayer. Pray intentionally. Make it part of your daily time individually, but maybe even as a church as we come together, not only on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, but to pray for these centers in your location, but all throughout the state of Florida. 35% of the abortions that happen in Florida are in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. 35%. I just came from Miami yesterday, worked with those great heroes of the faith down there, because it's dark. But I want you to know today that light is shining. Amen? Light is shining, and it's shining here in Palm Beach. And I just want to close, and I can't read the paraphrase, so I'm going to have to read out of my Bible. But I love Psalm 139, and I just want to read these words. It says, "For you formed my inward parts, and you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written for me all the days that were ordained, yet when there was even one." And as we go to the next slide, I'm honored to be here on January the 22nd, 2017. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan declared this day as a National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Aren't you thankful for that? And to be here in this church with my family, with such a passionate pastor and congregation, I want you to know how honored I am to serve with you throughout the state of Florida. We celebrate the sanctity of human life from conception all the way through the development until we walk through that valley of the shadow of death to our eternal home. To God be the glory for his presence here today.
Just briefly, Allison reminded me when we were at a First Care dinner, I think the speaker said, when you're in a crisis pregnancy, the challenge for the church is to help the woman, the family, to help eliminate the crisis, not the pregnancy. And that's really what you want to do, is come alongside and help them in the midst of their crisis. Many of you know Allison takes photography. She does photography. She's taken some of your photos. But a few months ago, she had a wonderful opportunity through some friendships at First Care to take photos of a woman who, through First Care, had chosen to keep her child. Unbelievable. Just Allison talked about the emotion and the dynamics. They're just thinking that that child that she was photographing, that mother had almost aborted. And so it was a wonderful time for her. So what do we do? Let me close out, read a passage, give you some things, ways we can be praying. We'll be done. I know it's heavy. It's a heavy Sunday, but it's what we need to be reminded of. In Proverbs 24, verse 11, it says this: "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? God is saying we can't just say, oh, we didn't know what's going on. He's calling us to act and to pray. So what do we do? Well, let me give you five things very briefly. For some of you, it's finding forgiveness in Christ. There may be some of you here today that had an abortion. Maybe you were in college. Maybe you were a 35-year-old woman and it wasn't the right time in your life at that point. Maybe you're a boyfriend or the husband who helped pay or encouraged. This is not an unforgivable sin. Christ's death makes atonement for all sin, including this. And some of you have been carrying that guilt and that shame for years and years, and you feel like if anybody ever knew that they would judge you and think differently of you. And I want you to know, regardless of how people might think of you, Christ offers grace and forgiveness to you. And maybe today what you need to take away is the forgiveness that only Christ gives in the midst of your experience in your life. For some of you, we need to begin praying for our community, praying for these girls in crisis, praying for these women, these families that are in crisis, making it a daily priority, not just a third or fourth Sunday of the year in January kind of thing, but praying weekly. Lord, I'm sure there are people in your work who are in crisis in their pregnancy, and you may not even know about it, but just praying for women and students that get in this situation, praying for our leaders and our laws. I know some people said the reason they voted for President Trump was because of Supreme Court, and that obviously is a potential, right? Praying that people and judges that have opportunity to make laws about partial birth abortion and other Supreme Court decisions, that God would move and work in their heart. But as she said, and it's not really just a law issue, though, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. So praying that God would move and work, but praying for our leaders. We could pray for First Care. Pray for Bo now that as he leads. Pray for their ministry. They just started up a campus right next to FAU. You don't think they have clients that are going to come in? Pray for them. We have one right here in Green Acres in the Walmart Plaza. Pray for them. We have workers in our congregation that are part of First Care. Pray for the Florida Baptist Children's Home and all of the ways that they work as well. Maybe for some of you as well, and this is the last way we can, maybe you need to begin praying about fostering or even adoption. See, that's kind of where we kind of, I think rightly can be critiqued. We say, no, no, keep what's in the womb, but then as soon as it's born, we really don't help them after that. So what if we came alongside? What if the church got serious about helping adopting these children? We're telling them to give up to adopt. What if we got serious about getting involved in foster care and helping these women and families in crisis get through this moment? How might the gospel show the redemption of Christ as the church becomes really what he's called us to do? So maybe for some of you, it's an issue of getting more involved in foster care or maybe even adoption. We know that some in this congregation have adopted. But my prayer for all of us this morning is we won't walk out of here and be mad. We won't walk out of here with heavy hearts, but we'll walk out of here determined to pray, to get involved, and as best we can, to be a voice for those who have no voice. Let's pray. Father, I know, Lord, this issue breaks your heart, and it should break our heart. So, Lord, whatever needs to happen with individuals in this room today, that you would move and you would work and you would speak. Lord, I pray that there'd be an outpouring of grace on those who need forgiveness and grace. I pray that there would be a stirring in spirits of those who need to be more prayerful, those who, Lord, maybe you've been challenging them to go down and help with First Care or with other ministries like that and just love on women that are coming into those places. Maybe, Lord, for some of us, you've been laying on our hearts for adoption or for foster caring. Lord, would you remove all of the excuses and all of the issues that we have in our mind and our heart about why we can't do these things? And Lord, for the sake of those whom we're talking about today, would you stir us? And so that when our children and our grandchildren ask, what did we do in this day, we would be able to say, we stood, oh Lord, we stood and sought to defend those who were defenseless. Lord, find us faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.